It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's gonna get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
All right, well, here we go with your wrestling nostalgia. It's a lot of fun tonight because this one is all about fun. This segment that we're going to go over tonight is 100% pure sports entertainment. And there's not a lot of times that I am of the belief that we cover these wrestling nostalgia moments that are purely entertainment and not wrestling based. So this may be the very first time that this is purely entertainment. And last week, yes, I covered CM Punk's promo, but that was based in reality. A lot of truth in that promo with CM Punk. But tonight, it was all scripted and somewhat unscripted, pure entertainment in one of the highest rated segments ever in WWE. Now, when I first did my research on this, I was thinking, oh, this is definitely the most, the highest rated segment in WWE history. I just read that throughout the years and I kind of believed it to be true. But as I dug a little more, this is actually not the highest rated segment in WWE. And I will give you guys the top 10 in just a minute. I'm not going to go through each one and belabor it and let you make you wait. I'm going to dive deep into Rock, This Is Your Life very, very soon. And I'll give you the top 10, which will surprise you. The top 10 will surprise you. And I'll give you the numbers for ratings. And those that don't follow ratings, I'll give you a clue as to what the WWE is pulling right now. And I think that will give you some perspective onto and respect with what WWE was doing back in the late 90s, early 2000s. In terms of viewership anyway. So this is going to be a lot of fun as we dive into numbers that we normally don't dive into and give you some perspective on just how far we've fallen with viewership. WWE has fallen with viewership over the last 20 years. So before we get going, though, I want to thank you guys for taking the time to listen to this show. A lot of options with wrestling podcasts, and certainly your listening and supporting the show is much appreciated. Lots of ways to support it. You're doing it right now by listening. So that's one way. You can also get an ad-free experience. If you are not a fan of those pesky ads, download the Patreon app and search for the WWE podcast. And for $1, you get the entire library with no ads at all. None. You don't have to worry about skipping through or sighing for another ad. It is just a completely all wrestling listening experience. And lastly, you can also give us a rating review on Apple Podcasts or go to Amazon and go to our website, click on the banner that's right in the middle of the page and do your shopping on Amazon. It just tells Amazon we sent you and it helps support the show for all the costs that are associated with this show. And a lot of people think with podcasting, it's nothing. You just got to have a computer and a microphone. A lot more to it than that. So any way that you guys could help support the show, keep this thing rolling, would be much appreciated. Alrighty. So we know that The Rock, This Is Your Life, is one of the highest rated segments in WWE history. And WWE failed miserably at a redo of that. I think WWE even tried Mick, This Is Your Life. And they even tried the just completely critically panned segment of Bayley, This Is Your Life that Alexa Bliss hosted a couple of years ago. That, I mean, if you want to see embarrassing and just uncomfortable, go watch Bayley, This Is Your Life. I mean, WWE has a habit of trying to recreate moments that you can't recreate, no matter how much you try to make it feel organic and fun and all that. You just can't do it. But WWE tries time after time to recreate these moments, which have a success rate of exactly zero. So, But I want to give you, before we dive into Rock, This Is Your Life, I want to tell you what the top 10 highest rated segments ever in WWE are. I want you guys to know what they are because I was curious too. I didn't want to just get into the numbers of the Rock, This Is Your Life, but also look at the rest of it, right? Look how far we've fallen. So here it comes. I'm not gonna make you wait any longer. Number 10, Vince McMahon has to leave the WWF This happened on July 26th, 1999, with a rating of 7.77 in that quarter rating. 7.77. Again, by comparison, WWE does low ones right now. Low ones. So this is seven times the viewership back in 1999. Seven times the viewership. And that's just for this segment. So, and what happened here was that Vince McMahon beat The Undertaker at Fully Loaded the night before. And the stipulation was if Austin won, Vince had to leave the WWF. And if Undertaker won, Stone Cold could never, ever get a shot at the WWF Championship again. So Vince lost, and Austin sang, na, 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 hey, hey, hey. You know, he sang the farewell to Vince McMahon. So that was number 10. What is number 9? Number 9 is Kane versus The Undertaker and Big Show. Imagine something like that. That doesn't seem like it would be a big money-drawing, high-rating segment. This happened again on July 26th, 1999. I really didn't expect that, but that gave us a rating of 7.81. Number 8. Vince McMahon talks Stone Cold before Backlash. This happened on April 24th, 2000. The rating was 8.12. Just quick background on this. This was when Austin had left with the injury and was on his way back to the WWF. And I remember this very, very well. Maybe some of you do too, even though nothing really happened other than just an announcement. Where we had just the announcement that Austin would be at Backlash. That's it. I remember being on vacation with my family watching Raw, and I lost my mind because Austin being gone since November with that neck surgery, it felt like a massive, massive hole. And that was a hell of a moment. I remember that. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just Google this one, YouTube it, of Austin, or I think it was Linda McMahon, actually, not Vince. Linda McMahon announces Stone Cold's return, something like that, and it'll pop up. The crowd, just by his name, has a bigger pop than any star in the last 10 years has had in a promo or a match. It's insane. Just the mere mention of his name, and this was good enough for the number 8 spot. Number 7, Shane McMahon versus The Rock, May 1st, 2000. What was the rating? 8.23. Again, guys, the ratings today for an average Monday Night Raw or 1.2, 1.3. Think about that. Think about that. Now we're into 8 times the viewership in 2000. Okay. This, I don't really remember this particularly, but I'll leave it as is. Shane McMahon versus The Rock in a cage match. Okay. Moving on. Number 6 was Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle versus The Rock and Kane. This is a tag team match. On July 24th, 2000, what was the rating? 8.35. So there we go. Number 5, which is what we're talking about tonight, This Is Your Life, which took place on September 27th, 1999. What was the rating? 8.39. So this segment we're going to talk about tonight at least made the top 5. When I originally thought about it today, I said, well, you know, I'm going to talk about the highest rated segment ever in WWE. And for some reason, I just thought it was. I don't know why. It's not. It is number 5. So I'm going to give you guys the other segments that beat this out. And we will get to that right now. Number 4. Here's what beat This Is Your Life. A tag team match. The Rock and Lita versus Triple H and Trish Stratus that took place on July 31st, 2000. The rating was 8.46. So a tag team match, an intergender, not a mixed tag. You got to remember, we're in the Attitude Era. An intergender, meaning the men can wrestle the women. That match beat out This Is Your Life. Number 3, this one really surprised me. This one is just, you know, if it had been in today's environment, or if I had been 36 years old back in 1999 and had a podcast, I might have had some choice words for this. But in the moment, I probably thought it was entertaining. And I haven't really gone back to watch it. So what is it? The Stooges. You guys know the Stooges. Pat Patterson and Gerald Briscoe versus the Mean Street Posse. This took place on May 10th, 1999. What the heck was the rating? 8.61. I really thought this was some kind of cruel joke. I really did. Oh, boy. Maybe it was entertaining. I really don't remember specifically this match or at all. I mean, but apparently it drew a massive rating. Number two, we're getting into the last couple here. A six-man tag team main event that took place on May 10th, 1999 with a massive, mind-boggling 9.17 rating. Good God. Wow. I don't know what was so special about this. I'll have to maybe dig into it later. And the number one highest rated segment of all time in WWE took place, and this surprised me, on June 28th, 1999, in a unfathomable 9.5 rating, Stone Cold Steve Austin versus The Undertaker. So let me read the description of what this was. I know that this is not the focus of tonight, but since it's the number one highest segment ever in WWE/WWF, I do want to give it a little bit of a background, and then we'll dive right into the This Is Your Life. So here's what the description says, verbatim. There was a lot riding on Steve Austin's WWF title shot against The Undertaker in the main event of Raw's June 28th, 1999 episode. The night before, Austin had been beaten in a ladder match by both Vince and Shane McMahon at the King of the Ring. If you guys remember that, that was when somebody mysteriously pulled up the briefcase, which we never ever got an answer to, by the way. And now he had to win the title or be banished from the championship scene for good. Typical Attitude Era drama, sure, but nonetheless gripping. Fans watching at home agreed. The company topped their own 9.17 quarter hour score for the May 10th episode by posting an enormous 9.5. This was reported in the July 12th, 1999 Observer, and so was the fact that WCW went off the air with Nitro earlier than scheduled, allowing the WWF a full 8 minutes unopposed. Although that might seem like Nitro handed the impetus to Raw, it's true that Taker versus Austin was killing it anyway. People rightly believed they'd see a title change on free television, and that played a huge part. Pay attention to these words, guys. And that played a huge part in the big number, regardless of what WCW was doing. So that was the description for the highest rated segment of all time in WWF history. Now, yes, Nitro went off the air. That might have boosted this a little bit, considering that they didn't have any competition during the time that this match was aired. But Austin Taker was compelling. I don't think the chemistry between Austin and Taker ever was there from a wrestling style perspective. They just never blended very well, I don't think. But given how hot both of them were, I don't think it really mattered to most fans. And I never really, how old was I at this point? Like 14, 15 years old. Didn't give a damn. I mean, I was just into the stories and the characters and the stunners and the beer and the crowd reactions. It was all so hot. It was part of pop culture in a way that wasn't embarrassing. It was part of just, you go to school and you see people wearing Austin 316 t-shirts, and it was actually cool to do. And, before it became kind of like, people look down on you wearing a wrestling shirt, it was damn cool. So the last thing I'll point out on this, if you heard me, I said people rightly believed they'd see a title change on free television, and that played a huge part in the big number, regardless of what WCW was doing. Wow. I don't think you can apply that logic to today, because if that were the case, you would have massive ratings every month or two. WWE gives away title opportunities on a regular basis. Almost every single show, there's a championship match of some sort, open challenge, whatever. And I'm not even counting the 24/7 title. I'm counting championships that matter. And you add to the fact that WWE has also engaged in actual major title changes on free television. You can't apply that logic today, but that's the thinking back then. The thinking back then was how special it was to not only see a championship match, but to also think that there could be a major title change. It was just the recipe for a ratings record rating, and that's exactly what they got here. Undertaker, Steve Austin, June 28th, 1999, with a really mind-boggling 9.5 rating. And you guys might say, 9.5? What's in between 9.5 and 1.5 or whatever? Guys, it's not even in the same stratosphere in terms of viewership. Go, if you want to get more of an education on ratings and what they mean, I mean, it's worth your time to look, because WWE still does care. They still care about ratings today. They do, because you could say that, oh, well, you know, people cut the cords, and, you know, TV ratings don't mean what they used to. And there's some truth to that. But at the same time, there are sponsors that care about it, because the sponsors who are on the USA Network or on Fox want to still have a rating that is at least a bare minimum, I'm sure, that's outlined in the contract to, you know, basically protect themselves. They need to have X amount of rating to make sure that their ads are being maximized to the widest audience possible. So ratings still do matter. I got to say, they do. As much as WWE downplays it. Because at the end of the day, the sponsors bring in more money than the fans do. So guess who they're serving more often than not? You got it. All right. Well, enough of that little education here. I hope that wasn't too much of a sidetrack. But I felt like I would do you a disservice by not knowing the 10 highest ratings ever in WWE, which I don't think there's any surprise it came between 1999 and 2000 that the top 10 segments happened. Okay, let's get to Rock, This Is Your Life. First of all, as I say with all of my segments, if you haven't seen this, this is an absolute classic. This segment also went longer than it should have. Vince apparently was really angry that this segment took up so much time. I think it went like 30, 40 minutes. It was so long, but it was so entertaining that at the end of the day, Vince didn't care, because the rating was proof that the fans were not just popping in and out, that they stuck and they stayed watching the rest of the show. So that, you know, ultimately with a for-profit organization, bottom line is what really matters the most. I mean, it sounds cold-hearted and callous, but no, they're not a charity organization. They're here for profit, and I understand that. So this was, again, if you haven't seen it, good Lord, go YouTube it. Watch Rock, This Is Your Life. Mick Foley and The Rock, prior to this, storyline-wise, were back and forth teaming. Rock being annoyed with Mick. It took a lot of warming up for The Rock to finally agree to be Mick's partner. The Rock was a solo act, a very, very successful solo act. Mick was kind of that younger brother dynamic. He was that annoying younger brother that wouldn't go away, was trying to warm the cold heart of the big brother and let him tag along. That was the dynamic between Mick and The Rock. Rock clearly was the bigger star. Mick would even imitate The Rock. He had Mr. Sacco. It was a match made in heaven with these two when it came to their chemistry in ring and the tag matches that they had. And The Rock was never meant to be a tag team partner of anybody. But when it comes to Mick Foley and The Rock, there are fewer tag teams that have had as much success as they've had being so together for such a little amount of time. If you remember, even in 2004, The Rock and Mick Foley teamed up at WrestleMania 20 to take on Evolution. They actually lost that match. And it was The Rock's final match before he went to go to Hollywood and didn't return until Valentine's Day in 2011, 7 years later. But I think everybody recognized the chemistry between Rock and Foley. It was just there. I don't think anyone planned it. And they were great opponents, but I think even better partners. And you don't see that a lot. So let's get into the audio here. Let's get into this, because there are a couple of audio bites that I want to share with you. I know this is a really long segment, of which I'm not going to share the entire thing. That'd be silly. But I'm going to give you some of the highlights, some of the stuff that still makes me pop. And it's... it's good stuff. So here's the first thing. Mick Foley brings out an old school teacher that The Rock had growing up.
That's right, Rock. Mankind has pulled out all the stops, and he has brought to you your sixth grade home economics teacher, Mrs. Betty Griffin.
Home economics? No, it says they're English teacher.
Largely acknowledged as the woman, Betty, over this way. Betty.
So before I get to what The Rock's response was, I had forgotten that the graphic that WWE had on the screen and what Mick Foley said about him, the teacher he brought out was the home economics teacher of The Rock. The graphic on the screen said it was his English teacher. Mick Foley gave a different name than what was on the graphic. The graphic says Mrs. Schubert. Okay, so they got the name wrong, and they got the profession or the focus of the teacher wrong. So it clearly was a mix-up there. And, let's take a listen to The Rock's response to her.
Make your pancakes. What a memory. And then the next day, you came to The Rock and you said, Rock, unfortunately, I'm all out of Aunt Jemima.
Uh-oh.
But that's okay, but The Rock says this. Hey, you still like to cook? Still like to bake bread? And you know your roles, right?
Wheat. Buttermilk.
Well, then The Rock says this. You should know your role and shut your mouth.
Whoa.
Take a little walk down Know Your Role Boulevard. Hang that right on Jabroni Drive. And then proceed to check your Aunt Jemima no pancake heaven. Directly into the SmackDown Hotel.
This is supposed to be The Rock's life. Does he have no respect?
Sorry.
So Mankind swings and misses with that first attempt at warming up to The Rock and trying to bring back some great memories for him. And oh God, it also really I think struck a chord with the younger audience, being able to tell your teacher basically to go to hell. I mean, I know that's how I interpreted it. And you're 14, 15 years old. I mean, teenagers were the core audience at that time. And it was something that I think teenagers, being naturally rebellious, always envisioned doing. So it's always about living vicariously, just as we lived vicariously through Stone Cold, living vicariously through The Rock doing this. I mean, it just gets better as we go on. But that, I think, was also a part of it. And so, alrighty. Well, let's get to Mick's next attempt at warming up to The Rock.
How you doing, Coach? Coach, you remember the last game of the season when there was 2 minutes left in the game and The Rock made that quarterback sack and the quarterback went to high-five The Rock and The Rock says, oh, no. The Rock doesn't high-five, but he will do this. The Rock gave the quarterback a boot and DDT'd him right in the middle of the field. You remember that? Yeah, I'm sure you do, but instead of congratulating The Rock, you made The Rock run sprints that night after the game in front of all The Rock's fans.
Not a very popular coach.
Hey, Coach, that's a really nice whistle you have around your neck. Coach, is that same whistle you used that night? You mind giving it a little blow just one time for The Rock? You and mine, Coach Rock, like to do something special with that whistle.
Oh, no. I wonder what that could be.
The Rock would like to take that whistle you got, that very whistle you just put to your lips, shine it up real nice.
Oh, that's nice.
Turn that some sideways and stick it straight up your candy. Hey, get the hell out of here, Coke.
Okay, so a former football coach that The Rock had in high school, of course, probably not the real one, but he, again, telling your coach to go to hell, telling your teacher to go to hell. This is hitting on all of the core audience. It's just brilliant. And then, oh gosh, it gets better and better as The Rock is introduced to his former girlfriend. Imagine this on TV today. In the PG era. This is good. Take a listen.
How you doing, honey? You remember every Saturday night back in high school how you and The Rock used to sit on your parents' couch?
Uh-oh.
And The Rock used to put his arm around you and we used to kiss a little bit. A lot of...
console hockey. Thumbs
we used up. To kiss a little bit. A lot of tongue. You used to love The Rock's tongue, didn't you?
I knew it.
Remember how you used to nibble on The Rock's ear, like on The Rock's neck, and you would whisper to The Rock? You used to whisper to The Rock, hey, Rock, go for it. Go for second base.
Oh, second base. He looks like a ball
remember
player.
That? And as The Rock put his hand ever so gently on your knee, slid his hand up inch by inch.
Oh, boy. Rock's old high school girlfriend here on This Is Your Life. Thanks
and what
to
did you do? You cut The Rock off on second base.
Uh-oh. You ever get picked off on second, King?
The Rock's not the type of guy to hold a grudge. You see, you stand now before The Rock, looking at The Rock, gawking at The Rock, wanting to go one on one with the Gray One.
She'd like it.
And now in front of all The Rock's fans, you want to serve The Rock a great big piece of that pie?
Whoever it was, I'm sure she'd be willing to serve it to you. Piping hot. Homemade.
That's no secret. The Rock, he loves pie, but The Rock just has one thing to say to you. You're on out of here.
That might have been my favorite part of the whole segment when he gets his former girlfriend in the ring. The puns in this whole thing, it's a shame that this is blurred out or bleeped out. And this being a PG podcast, it's understandable that they did. So I guess that them beeping out the words that they needed to actually would fit within the narrative or the structure and the limitations of this podcast, but use your imagination, okay? What starts with P that The Rock always used to say, referring to female genitalia, okay? Use the P word and the, you know, A-S-S, okay? We'll spell things out like children, but those are the words he used. P your A out of here. That was probably the best line, and I know that it's bleeped out, but if you want to hear the uncensored version, it is that funny. And watching the facial reactions and the crowd booing the girlfriend for cutting off the Rock at second base was, I mean, there's more heel heat. And that one that one reaction of The Rock getting cut off at second base that a lot of heels have today. That's sad. That is just sad. And so to me, that was probably the best part of This Is Your Life. And it goes on to bring in, you know, a clown, and it does get a little bit hokey at times. But to me, those are the big three that I remember that probably most people remember, especially the girlfriend who did great facial reactions and The Rock getting cut off at second base and Jim Ross's comment, sly comment about, you ever get picked off at second, King? Like referencing a baseball play when you get picked off trying to steal second base. I mean, that made me laugh. I was trying not to bleed or contaminate the audio that I was playing for you guys. I was laughing while I was watching this. The King's laughter during this is 100% genuine. This is not canned, scripted laughter. This is genuine laughter by the King. And you can feel it and hear it. It just makes the segment even better that you can always tell and feel when the announcers are feeling it in genuine emotion. You can always hear it. It was really, really funny. And so those are the three segments I wanted to share with you guys about This Is Your Life. One of the most memorable, comedic, just easygoing moments. I know we touch on a lot of serious stuff here with real hard emotion, real, you know, disappointment, anger, all that. But this is probably the most unique one I've done because this is not focused on a match or anything like that. It's a pure entertainment segment, 100% entertainment. And it was not supposed to go as long as it did, of course, as I mentioned. It wasn't supposed to be this successful, but it is the fifth highest rated segment ever in WWF history / WWE. And deservedly so. Deservedly so. And it's nice to take a break from sometimes the serious rants that we have on this show and really praise a segment that is all entertainment and no wrestling, which I don't know how often you'll hear on this show. So document it and mark it down. Then on February 17th, 2021, we actually praised a segment on this show that had nothing to do with wrestling at all. So that is a special moment for sure. The other thing is that this segment added depth to The Rock's character. Not just Mick Foley trying to warm up to The Rock and bringing out his past, but The Rock at this time was a very, I don't want to say he's one-dimensional. He certainly wasn't one-dimensional. But you knew what you were getting with The Rock. Very successful formula. Kick ass in the ring. He would always cut entertaining promos. But to see his past being brought up in front of your eyes and learning who his home ec teacher was and learning who his coach was and his former girlfriend in high school, it, even though he berated them and sent them all packing, it still made you feel closer to the Rock character because you're starting to learn about his past. And Mick Foley just swinging missing with everybody he brings out was absolutely just, it's classic TV. It will never be duplicated. WWE hopefully learned their lesson about trying to duplicate it twice with Mick Foley, This Is Your Life, and then Bayley, This Is Your Life, which was, again, a train wreck. Maybe they'll try a fourth time, I hope not, and just leave this be. It is a brilliant segment that was very, I think, unscripted. I think The Rock came up with a lot of that in the moment and felt the moment. So go watch it. I mean, again, you heard me laughing. I wasn't laughing just to, show I'm laughing. It is a segment that will almost always make you smile or laugh, I think, especially if you just want to relax and enjoy wrestling in a non-serious way and you want something to watch that's not so heavy at times, this is one that you should go watch, I think so. All right, well, that, I think, wraps up the show. Not a lot to dive into with this segment. It's pure entertainment. I know these shows usually go a little bit longer, but this was a one that was kind of a break from the seriousness that usually overrides a lot of our shows, and it's just time to relax and enjoy This Is Your Life. If you want to watch it in full, of course, he brings out a clown after this, and that obviously doesn't work either, and he berates the clown. I think it's Bobo the clown that he brings out. So just completely brilliant all the way around, and you want to smile, go watch that segment. So let me know what you guys think, though. Hit me up, realwwepodcast@gmail.com, if you have thoughts on this segment, or you want me to do a wrestling nostalgia on your favorite moment or one of your favorite moments or matches, certainly send them my way. I do take suggestions, and I do fulfill those suggestions regularly. So please hit me up at that address if you want your suggestion or your idea on the show. All right, everybody. So that's it for nostalgia. Hope you enjoyed it. Up next, if you haven't already seen it in the feed, is the mailbag. Lots of your opinions and emails and calls right at the other end of this show. So thank you, everybody. And as always, I'll talk to you next time.